Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. More than once, she has been the number one realtor in the entire state of Hawaii. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, Randy. How are you?
I am doing well. I'm in sunny California. It's, mid-90s right now, and it's beautiful here. How about you on the East Coast?
I'm an eighth. It's nice. It's in the 70s, so the weather's really nice. Can't complain. Can't complain.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, we've been having a great time again here in California, and kind of wrapping up our chapter, if you will, here for the last 3 years. Been at KAMB Radio, and going to be heading back to Maui into this month. And going to be doing several things. One of them is consulting for some guys who are putting a radio station together over in West Maui there on the Lahaina side. And, of course, we'll be doing our marriage workshops and partnering with an organization called Marriage Mentoring, where we're going to be basically establishing couples who can work with other couples, their locals. In terms of mentoring and helping with their marriage. So a lot on the plate, but excited about heading back, of course, to the islands and Vogue and all. So we'll be heading back.
Listen, that's exciting. And the ministry, though, it's based on Christian ministry, or is it generalized, or on the marriage ministry?
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, that's cool.
You know, it's a little of both. It's obviously there are communication techniques that there are communication techniques that you that are kind of universal, kind of like Realty Universal. There are techniques that are you can teach that aren't necessarily, you know, Christian, or they're just techniques for communication. But we always, of course, incorporate scripture into them, and obviously Bible verses, and so the double whammy of the using the Word of God, really the Bible and scripture, along with communication techniques that work. And you know, it's worked for us, and we just want to kind of pass along. And we also are waiting to hear from our the producers from the Oprah Network about when they're gonna shoot, I guess, a little deal. We're gonna feature our story in one of their shows coming up this summer, so that'll be fun too. And plug it along.
That's fantastic. I know you've been doing the workshops for a long time. I just didn't know when you go into different venues, you know, how they're structured. So that's wonderful. You know,
yeah.
It's really wonderful. And it's neat, on the second half of our show, we're going to be talking about a little bit about meditating and thought processing and things like that. And it really, really is your attitude and things we do. It's funny, we're such simple creatures, humans. We're such creatures of habit. And it's interesting to find things that we can do and get tools to work with that can really change our mind, you know, and they change your mind, change your mindset. So it's really cool, and I commend you on that. I can't wait to I won't be sitting in on one because I'm not married anymore. I've been divorced for years and years. But maybe I can kind of hear the replays or something and send people over.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's a wonderful program. You have to expand on it. Really. So today we're actually going to, our topic is, the first half of our show is, the first half is going to be on real estate, second half on self-help. And the topic for the first half is, should I buy or wait? Of course, buy real estate or wait. Yeah.
Well, yeah, a lot of folks of course, you know, look at the economy. I know I have a lot of friends that want to buy, and they're saying, eh, it's just, you know, actually, you can say it. I mean, it is a good time to buy, I would think, in one sense, and that is that the interest rates are low, and boy, the prices are amazing. But I think there's also, I guess there's a fear out there, isn't there? Just a general fear about the economy that sometimes keeps people from pulling the trigger on a deal.
Yeah, and you know, my opinion is, should you buy or wait? I think you definitely should buy, but you shouldn't buy based on what everyone else is doing, or you shouldn't wait based on what everybody else is doing. You know, you buy in should not be based on outside circumstances. Not, now I say that in jest. Of course, you don't want to buy something and pay way over market value if the markets are declining considerably. You know, you want to get a good deal. But what you really want to do is create your own reality, which means set up a plan for you, your family, if you don't have a family, just for you, your goals, and educate yourself and work from there, and almost have tunnel vision. Don't rely on, oh, I'm so fearful, oh, the markets, oh, whatever, because, oh, my God, the rates are lower than they've been in years. I mean, historically, ever. You know, it's harder to get financing, but there's ways to do it. There's many other ways it could be creative financing. But you don't want to just do what your neighbor's doing. You don't want to just do what your friend's doing. You don't want to do what they just tell you on the news to do. You want to sit and create your own reality. So you can always... There's good market. You can buy and find deals in good markets and bad markets. So I think definitely people should buy. There are times when, because of your circumstances, maybe you should buy investment and then rent your first house. Typically, on your right now, if anyone's listening in the U.S. and not, of course, a show people can listen to from anywhere, we still have fantastic interest write-offs. So it doesn't make sense not to buy. You know, instead of paying Uncle Sam all those taxes, if you're renting, you could be writing off over a third, depending on what your, you know, numbers work out in your write-offs, and save quite a lot in taxes by owning, and that's for your principal residence. There's other benefits and other properties, too. So, you know, it really does make sense to buy, unless you're in a situation that you're living in a neighborhood that, in an area where the rents are way lower than what you'd be getting and paying once you consider your write-offs, right, from your taxes. So there, you know, there could be situations that's like, nah, I'm going to, you know, or if you're moving into a new area and you're not really familiar with the area and you want to check it out first, or you don't know how long you're going to be there, or maybe you have your own company and your company can rent a property and the numbers work out better and you still get a write-off, you know. So everybody's situation's different. That you really need to look at your own situation and stop looking at what everyone else is doing. That's really, really important.
Well, I can see how, again, people would do that, you know, be kind of fearful, but like you say, the all-time, you know, rates that are low now and the prices. I mean, Monica's been, Monica has this dream, and she'll just get on the internet and start looking. But she has this dream. Her folks have a cabin near Placerville, California, up in the Sierra foothills. And we go up there from time to time. And I know when she's in that mood where she starts looking at properties, you know, and I'm looking at some amazing, amazing deals on some, you know, properties, you know, 2,000 square foot cabin with 10 acres, you know, $60,000-$70,000 and nice areas. Yeah, really nice areas. And I'm like, huh, interesting.
On 10 acres,
it just kind of opened my eyes.
Cabins on
10
acres.
Yeah, 5 to 10 acres. Could
be
on a hillside.
And where is that in,
you know,
California?
In the Placerville, kind of up, going toward Lake Tahoe, sort of up that way.
Wow.
Up in the foothills. So, you know.
Wow.
That's kind of our story, is that we're in the situation where obviously we're kind of fluid. We do own one home that's a, you know, it's an investment. We've got a great tenant in Chico, California. And so, you know, we're kind of just riding that one out. But Monica kind of gets that itch, and she's the saver in the family. And, you know, so she's been, saving over the years.
That's fantastic. I mean, and so there's no many, you know, the answer to me would definitely be yes, but where should you buy, what do you buy, where, you know, you want to, you know, are you going to be buying just investments? Are you going to buy properties and flip them? Are you going to hold them long term? Are you going to, you know, we had one show a month and a half ago where we were talking about different types of investments, different ways to make money in real estate. So, you know, you definitely, don't just jump on the bandwagon and do what everyone else does. You know, it's really important to get out there and see what's best for you. Now, historically, owning is way better than renting, you know, and there's so many deals out there. And
now, but, you know, I'm looking at some people who bought a while back, and, you know, I mean, they bought back when, you know, I guess the prices were even higher, and now, you know, I guess, you know, and now they're struggling. I mean, there's some folks that, you know, are struggling, and... you know, that's a matter of if they can write it out, I guess they should write it out, right? That's the ideal.
I think you're talking about what are you talking about? Like 2000 and 2006 when there was such a boom and everybody was buying?
Yeah.
And then the prices came down and now people are losing their homes and foreclosures and everything.
The values.
Well, I think some people made huge amounts of money during that time period because they sat with their plan, focused, made a plan, kind of, you know, there's always speculation. Maybe they bought, held it for 2 years, sold, did it again. You know, I think where a lot of people got into trouble is they didn't look to the future. They didn't have a plan. They just jumped in. And there were times during that period I said, oh, my gosh, all the amateurs are out there, you know, and everybody's just thinking everybody's going to make a fortune, and they didn't. So I think that that's a perfect example of situations where you may not win all the time, but if you look historically, there's been many more millionaires made from real estate than anything else. Of course, you've got the stock market and whatever, but all people, when I say more than anything else, I mean, of course, we're not going to count Google and Facebook, but I'm talking about, in general, millionaires that are out there and in their portfolio. Real estate is a huge asset in their portfolios. But again, you know, I was putting monies when we had that boom into the brokerage in Hawaii at the time, saying I want to be more liquid building that and building Merlin Universal than just to go buy, sell. Somebody who's an investor that maybe that's their whole business, they want to buy, sell, did very well. I knew some investors that were made a fortune. But, you know, you have to have a plan. And there were times when these markets were increasing that you could see this isn't going to continue forever. And some people would say, yes, it is, you know, and not plan, hey, I'm going to buy it, I'm going to sell it in 2 years, and I'm going to get out of it. Some of these people said they're just hanging on to it, and then, boom, things crashed. So I definitely and, again, that when everybody's doing something, that's not the time to do it, right? So it's definitely – I wouldn't want to say, you know, fear is false evidence appearing real, right? You don't want to have fear. You want to definitely take the bull by the horns and make a plan and say, hey, you know, if you're married and you're looking at your plan for the next 20, 30 years, say, what do we want to do? Do we know where we may want to retire? Hey, somebody says, you know, hey, I may want to retire where you were talking about in Placerville. You said Foothills, not far from Lake Tahoe. That may be a perfect plan where someone goes, well, you know, we might want to retire over there. Hey, you can get a cabin on 10 acres for $60,000. Woo, let's check into it. See what they're renting for. Do they vacation rental right now? Is that something that we can make money on now? Is it something that we can more than cover the mortgage and then have it paid off by the time we retire, for example, right? And so you want to really look at the whole thing instead of thinking, oh, no, how am I going to make that payment? What am I going to do? So this is where your planning comes in. You know, if you're by yourself and you're planning, what are you looking for long-term, short-term? You know, I think you should own the house you live in, but some people don't because it depends on – there's always an exception to every rule. So, again, you know, we're given generalities. Now, we do have courses and workshops, and there's, you know, things you can learn, and we also work with affiliates, and there's different programs you can learn right at home. You can get on teleseminars, you can buy kits, you can learn. You really want to educate yourself. Buy books. There's so much material out there. You can also, you know, meet with investors, meet with the experts. Start making your plan. But the first step is the biggest thing to do. Don't just wait. And, you know, people say, okay, I'm going to buy this one house and then I'm going to have it paid off in 30 years and that's it. Well, pay it off in 15 years. Do other things. Get creative. You know, don't just give all your money to the bank and then say that's it. You know, look at other things you can be doing. So it really depends on what you love. Now, some people say, hey, you know, I'm really handy. I like dealing with investments. I think I might want to buy some rental units. I can deal with the issues with rentals, and that's fun for me. We're always in the area. We can handle this. Or we want to delegate it out and hire other people to do it. Some people say, oh, forget it. I've owned rentals. I've had major problems. I don't want that headache anymore. Now I'm older. It was fun when I was younger. Okay, so now maybe something in Costa Rica might, you know, might whet your appetite, you know, or maybe you're looking and you have children, grandchildren, and you say, you know, we'd like to get something so that they have something, too, that we're passing on in another area. So then you research areas and you go, what's that going to be like in 20 years? Am I protected? Am I not protected? You know, so you have to research whatever you're doing. But don't, you know, I think it's a matter of thinking outside the box, not having the fear. You don't have to race into it. But really, it's, I mean, oh, my gosh, this is... The rates are not historically this low for a reason. You know, they're very, very low. Say somebody's in situations they maybe can't get financing. So then think about owner financing or think about creative marketing. But it is smart to start doing something because you want to have don't have all your eggs in one basket, but you want to start doing something with investing, you know. So it really, but that, so I'd stay away from everybody says this, you know. Think about what you want, not what everybody else wants. So.
I love what you said earlier, and I love bears repeating because the word fear came up a few times as we're talking about the economy and people's willingness or unwillingness, and somehow sometimes the fear clouds their creativity and their judgment, as you were saying. And you said something, fear is false evidence appearing
false
real.
False evidence appearing real, yes. Yep, false evidence appearing real.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, it really is because
that
we have
so
to
good.
Shift our
you know,
thinking, right? Yep.
I wanted to, as you were sharing, you mentioned that, yeah, there are so many factors that enter into somebody who, is going to maybe buy, say, investment houses. You're going to be in the area. Are you handy? Can you, you know, do some of that? And we just had a situation with our rental in Chico, California, where, the tenant sent me pictures of water damage, you know, and you're like, oh, boy, here we go. You know, you always hate the text with the pictures from the tenant, you know, because, you know, it's going to be an expenditure of some kind. And she showed me the water damage, and she went ahead and got a couple, of course, quotes just to get them. And, one was $6,000, one was $8,000. And I'm just, you know, you get that lump in your throat, like, I can't afford this. But I have a realtor friend there in Chico who's really kind of acted as, as a property manager. I mean, he's helped us rent the place. He helped us move out of the place when we physically moved out. I joked with him the other day. I said, Barry, this house has got to be the most work you've put into a house without getting a commission yet, you know, in your history. And he just laughed. And he said, actually, it is. But he says, you know what? I care about you guys. He's much like you. It's about, you know, being real, being authentic, giving back, being all that you say you are. And he's done a lot of work. And anyway, long story short is he went and got another couple of quotes, and he found this guy who's a very reputable handyman, licensed contractor, who basically said he could probably fix that section of our roof for, like $500 instead of, you know, $8,000. So it just does
Wow,
pay.
What a huge difference. Now Randy, That much
so
difference? So is that much
it,
difference? 8,000 versus 500?
Yeah, somebody, you know how when you go get a quote and somebody's just, there's just people who are not very reputable and think they can take advantage of people. And I probably they didn't realize we had a guy like Barry who could go out and look at it himself, an experienced realtor who knew, how to have somebody who's a licensed contractor who's not out to gouge you come in and evaluate the situation. And I thought that was really another reason to have a good realtor and a good relationship with a realtor.
But now I wouldn't do like Barry. I wouldn't be doing all that work for free for you, Randy. I think that's not a good thing because I think he deserves to be paid, you know. But seriously, I wouldn't be doing that. To me, that's not a good business move on his side to be doing all this free work because he should get paid for work he's doing. Yeah. But and when you first said it too, you know, we have insurance also. So, of course, there'd be three estimates. And if it was $8,000 and there might be a $500 deductible, then it's not going to cost you $8,000. You know what I mean? So, but that you're right. You have different issues that come up. It is nice to have somebody you can rely on that's going to check the place out for you or whatever if you're not in the area because you never know what happens, right? That's funny.
Yep, that, you never know. And I think
that's the thing,
when you use that word fear, that's the fear that a lot of people have is being a landlord without, you know, the cash to really fix a lot of things.
Right, and you know, the funny thing is things have changed so much. There's so many more ways to simplify things now than the old days, and everybody has their opinion, and that's why you really want to check things out and then see what your gut tells you and check with the experts, ask a bunch of questions. It's the same with everything, and then go with what you feel right with doing. But that's why you need to see what your plan is. You certainly don't want to put yourself in a position where you're making small amounts of profit and it's tons of work, right? That doesn't sound like a win-win situation. But if you're in a situation where you can see gradually it's going to work and it's going to, you know, so you definitely, you know, and some of the old rules don't apply anymore. So that's why it's really important to check out what you want to do. But if, you know, some people know they're going to maybe be in an area only for 6 months and the market's really depressed and, you know, it may make sense to only rent, right? Or if somebody can rent a house for half of what their mortgage would be, you know. So it really depends on where you are. But I think overall, investing is fantastic. I mean, even in good markets, bad markets, and that's the key. Thinking, hey, I'm not trying to buy up the whole market. I only need to buy one or two or three. Or, you know, some people. I mean, it depends on the amount of money someone has. Somebody may be going in and has a lot of money or an inheritance, and they want to buy warehouses or storage things. Or sometimes people go in, a group of people, and they form a hui, you know. In Hawaii, they call it a hui, and other places. You know, they may just form an LLC with a group of people and partners and get in and do something. And you have to be careful. But I just think it's very wise to take your money and make it work for you. And the economy is bad, but the economy, it's so funny. Not funny, it's really sad. I mean, there's a lot of people that can't work or can't find jobs, but yet some people I've heard say they can't find jobs, but then they're looking the same way they always did before. They're not looking at it and saying, wait a minute, what do I do? What do I love to do? Is one door closing because another one's going to open? Is this my knock on the head to finally do something different? Is this my opportunity to make this a positive situation? So you'll say somebody's looking for engineering. Well, where did you apply? You know, I put myself up on monster.com. I've, you know, just applied maybe five different places. Well, that's not going to work, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think you just really, you know, sometimes when one thing doesn't work, it's a golden opportunity to try something different. And that's why I just suggest over and over and over, don't do what everybody else does. Sit down and make your plan. And I think, there's so many people right now underwater that would be happy to negotiate with you or work out a plan or do a rent with a sale. So many different things. And then, of course, if you do a personal property trust, you have to talk to attorneys and things. You can actually take write-offs, but that has to be structured separately with a third party. And, you know, there's just so much. I mean, we never can cover all of that on our shows. That's why on our shows we're basically whetting the appetite. We're giving people food for thought, you know, they can go and research. They can go to our website also. They can take some of our workshops. They can sign up for courses, buy kits, take teleseminars, be referred to people through us, et cetera. And, of course, a good old-fashioned library, you know, to go to the library, go to the internet, resources.
Yeah.
You've got, you know, I mean, Amazon, and everybody's, many people have their Kindles these days. I mean, it's very easy to start learning and learning. Incredible amount
and
of information.
That website, again, realtyuniversal.com is the website, and you can get all of that information. You'll be blown away. There's a lot there for you to look through, and, of course, our contact information as well, realtyuniversal.com. Our archive listenership continues to grow, and we're excited about that. Every week, more and more people are tuning into this show. Our number here, if you happen to be listening now and want to talk to Natalie, is 347-945-5428. That's 347-945-5428. And we're going to take a break and come back on the other side and talk about God and the good stuff going on in the world. And speaking, one of the words that kept coming up from Natalie this first half hour was, have a plan, work your plan, know what your plan is. Sadly, a lot of people don't have a plan. Michael Hyatt, CEO of Thomas Nelson Publishers, talking about a life plan. We'll be back right after this.
Hi, I'm Michael Hyatt, professional blogger and public speaker. I'm also the chairman of Thomas Nelson Publishers, a husband, a father, a grandfather, and a Sunday school teacher. I often get asked, how do you get it all done? Two words, life plan. Sadly, I've met very few people who have a plan for their life. Most are passive spectators, watching their lives unfold one day at a time. They may plan their careers, the building of a new home, or even a vacation, but it never occurs to them to plan their life. This is why so many people end up discouraged, disillusioned, and wondering what went wrong. The good news is that it doesn't have to be that way. You can live your life on purpose starting today by going to michaelhyatt.com/lifeplan. There's three reasons why you need a life plan. Number one, it will give you clarity about where your life is headed. Number two, it'll keep you in balance when things get crazy. Number three, it'll give you peace of mind, knowing that you're addressing those aspects of your life that matter the most. Creating your personal life plan is not so much an ebook as it is a life planning experience. In the book, I'll take you through a visualization exercise that'll give you enormous clarity on what matters most. A five-step program for identifying where you are now and how to get from here to where you want to be. A weekly and quarterly process for keeping your life on plan and moving in the direction of your highest priorities. Two planning templates, a Word document, and a separate Excel document that will make it easier for you to create your plan and keep it up to date. You can't buy creating a personal life plan at a bookstore. You can't even buy it on the internet. There's only one way to get it, by subscribing to my free email newsletter. All you need to do is go to michaelhyatt.com/lifeplan and sign up for my free email updates. I'll then immediately email you the download link to this amazing free resource. Don't wait. You can start the life plan adventure today. Experience the power of living your life on purpose.
And we are back. Good afternoon, I guess, here in California. Good morning in Hawaii, and good late afternoon to you on the East Coast. Randy Zachary here, Realty Universal Radio, the name of the show, here on Blog Talk Radio. And Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, is with us. And again, the website, realtyuniversal.com. One more time, the phone number is 347-945-5428. That's 347-945-5428. And Joe has been waiting patiently. Joe, you're on the air.
All right, good. This is for Natalie, or even for you. Would either
Hi,
of
Joe.
You,
how are you?
How are you doing? Would either
Great.
Of you know what the median or the average price of a house is today? And would you happen to know what the median or average house price was in 2007 or 2008 before the crisis hit?
That's a really good question, but of course it's going to depend on which state and which area you're talking about.
Well, nationally, or
you know
if you want
mean?
To pick a state, go ahead.
Well, I mean, it depends on where you are. I know, like, for example, 2000, like, I'll just give you an example of Oahu. The prices actually went up more around 2001, 2002. So, for example, like Oahu, the median price was, I think it was probably, I'm guessing, I mean, off the top of my head, I don't give exact figures, but it was probably more around 500, but by 2002, it probably went up to 650, 700, almost 800. Now it's back down to fives to sixes. So, but you really depends on the area. So the percentage, that's a great question. If we were going to say across the board around the country,
yeah,
the percentage, we'd have to calculate that out. But I think,
let's say in Texas in 2007, if you're familiar with any of the counties there, that'll be fine. You know, in 2007, 2008, if you knew the median or the average price and compared to what it would be for the same county or area today.
So you're saying instead of, for like, because when your first question was 2000, right, not 2007? I'm just asking.
No, my first question was 2007 or 2008 compared
to... when you first asked me and I said Hawaii, I was going all the way back to the year 2000. Did you say 2007?
No,
oh, I apologize. I apologize. I apologize because I thought you were saying the 2000. 2007 to 2008, I don't know the exacts for Texas. We'd have to look them up. But I apologize when I said 2000 because that's what I thought I heard. The 2007, most of the places were already on a decline by then, coming down, you know, versus going down more and more and more. But that, I'm just giving you a majority.
Right.
Is that where you are in Texas? Or?
Well, I'm just... You said to pick a state, because I'm just picking, you know, any particular state. I'm thinking that most of the prices of houses from coast to coast are still down. Or am I right? Right? Okay.
Yeah. You're correct.
Okay, because the title of your show is Should I Buy or Wait, which is a good title, because if you're going to buy a house, it may seem that since they're down now, it might be a good time to buy a house. But then I'm also thinking, what's the use of buying a house? It may have... there may be less than what it was in the past if it doesn't have potential for it to go up. So
no, that's a good point. But the thing is what I would do, what I would suggest in that scenario, depending on if it's going to be your primary investment or whatever, what I would do is say the market value in any state, say the market value is $300,000.
Okay.
And they're on the market and they're on, you know, and you're finding the $300,000, $275,000, $280,000, all around that. What I would do in that situation is I'd put in an offer for $200,000 or $220,000. You know what I mean? I would want to still try to get a steal of a deal. You know what I mean? That type of thing. So
well,
I still think it can be good to buy.
Isn't there only a deal if it goes up?
No. I agree with what you're saying. I mean, but that's that's kind of what we were talking about before, is really look at your individual situation and not generalize it, right?
Uh-huh.
Because you want it to go up. You don't want to buy an asset that's totally going to deteriorate. For example, yeah, when you were saying 2007, I apologize. I thought you said 2000.
No.
You know, that things were going on a decline. And people that had bought in many states, I don't want to say every state, because there's some areas, like, for example, I mean, Washington, D.C. and outside Virginia, those, some of those areas didn't even go down ever. I mean, they've just been amazing.
Yeah,
but,
and, yeah, I know there are some areas also that didn't go down, I couldn't believe it. But
what you're saying makes total sense. So, like, sure, if somebody was going to go and buy in 2006, and then they wanted to sell in 2008, they could have had a really tough time and just lost a bunch of money.
Mm-hmm.
I still think that, well, if it, you don't, see, it depends, because say you're going to buy something.
Let me give you my thoughts and let you gauge whether or not they're decent or not. If I were going to buy a house, I would want to buy a house primarily for me to live in, and I wouldn't really care if it went up. I would care about the property taxes being low, so if it went up and the property taxes did not go up commensurate with the the price of the house going up, I would be kind of satisfied, because that would be my home. But as an investment,
right,
you know, I would want a house to go up. But primarily, if it's my primary residence, if a house is worth $300,000 in 2008 and I could get it for $150,000, $200,000, I would buy it, even if it didn't go up.
Right. But now let me ask you this, Joe. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good move. If you bought it, what could you rent in that same – would the rent be less than what your mortgage is or more than your mortgage payment? or
well,
that's
average, a good
question.
I've also, I've used calculators to calculate what would cost over the law over the lengthy period of time, which would be a better investment. Sometimes renting appears to be better, but even if it is, I wouldn't mind having a house again, even if it didn't go up, because it'd still be my house as opposed to an apartment.
Right. And you're better off to think, there's a lot of things with owning a home. Now, you're still going to get the write-off on your income, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't need a lot of a write-off on an income, you don't know. You might get into this business or that, or you might do some investments where you're, you know, still having income, but you're not having to work. You know, you've just invested
right.
in letting someone else do the work. So that's going to be able to help you. And also, there's something about owning versus renting is that mentally, too, you can knock down your walls. You can work on projects. You can do what you want to your house.
Yeah.
That's, those are things you can't do renting. So when you, generally, I would say in the situation you're giving, I would buy, you know. But again, it really depends on the individual.
Well, true. And my, if I was going to invest for investment, then I would think about buying a house that I could rent out. But then again, you know, I almost bought a house, not a house, but an apartment house years ago for no money down. Like so. It's possible.
That's great. No, and you didn't. What stopped you from doing it at the time?
The income from the tenants wasn't enough, because I figured, look, if the tenancy rate was going to go down by one or more tenants, then
right.
I wouldn't be able to afford the mortgage. So I figured, let me pass.
Okay. So the comfort level wasn't there for you.
No, not enough of a profit margin. Like, there are about maybe five or six vacancies, and if one or more were going to occur, that was going to put me in trouble.
How many? What was the age of the building or units? Was it older?
I think
or
it was
or
about
newer?
Pre-World War II.
So you had lead paint potential issues too, so that would have also
think of that. Yeah.
And that would have played into your risk factor, you know, not fear factor like Randy and I were talking before. We don't want to have fear, but that would have played into your risk factor looking at your numbers. So it sounds like you made a good decision. But you know, there's some times where something may not go up at all. I mean, I hear constantly about the deals are in Detroit right now, but I guess the rents are low too. But there could be something that may not go up a lot that's an investment, but the rate of return is so great on the rentals, you know, that you can't turn it away. So
yeah. I haven't really looked into it in about 10 years into real estate, but I saw your show, and the title again. Should I buy or wait? And I wanted to find out if my immediate thinking, my immediate response had any kind of value.
Well, your accent sounds like you're Northeast. Where are you?
I'm
but
in
I don't
Montana.
Want to assume because we all live everywhere.
Yeah,
you're in Montana,
Montana.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you from the Northeast?
I don't like to talk too much about private stuff.
Never. That's okay. I'm just saying I can hear. Well, it doesn't matter because people live all over, right? But
right.
I'm just saying when you hear accents, I've been all over and I kind of.
Yeah, people.
Oh, Montana.
People,
huh?
Yeah, people attach my accent to either New York, Boston, or New Jersey. Which one does it sound
right.
like to you?
I know. I got it.
I say New York.
See, I was in France. Well, I'm a French citizen and U.S. citizen, but of course I don't sound like it because we came to the U.S. when I was two.
Uh-huh.
And I had been to London recently. And I was like, oh, I love your accents. I love your accents. And they said, I like yours. And I'm like, you're kidding. Like, I don't hear it. I don't.
Yeah,
I
know.
And
I
don't like it. I think it's too plain.
I know what you mean, but I hate the British accent. But I want to ask you a question because I'm at your site, and you've sold $80 million of real estate a year?
That's not, that's what I was doing, and now I've pulled back from,
that's commercial
that was
real
in Hawaii.
I assume, right?
Yeah, that's in sales. That's not like 80 million in, some people see 80 million and they're thinking it's 80 million in dollars. It's sales. So
right.
it goes by, I mean, I've been in the business 26 years. So if you go on further, I started working on our membership stuff. But that's a lot if you look at the amount of years and what I've done in the business. It's not hard if you go out and you start really working hard and sell. But it's
right.
$80 million in sales. It's not dollar that for a year.
Yeah, you're talking about the market price of the property, right?
Right, right.
Mean?
Oh yeah. So if the house is $500,000, you get credit for $500,000.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you list it and you sell it, you get credit for $1 million.
But even if you were selling let's say $2 million worth of $4 million worth of commercial real estate, that's still 20 sales a year. That's pretty good.
No, I think if you're really going to work in the industry full time, you should probably think about 80 or 100 years sales a year. I mean, why work in something full time if you're not going to really work at it? I mean, I don't want to get into the whole thing, but it's not hard if somebody is in there working really hard and building it and building it. You know, it's not that hard. I mean, people, because that's if you're, yeah, that's not that, but it depends on the, depends on what you're doing and how long
you've
been in the
client. Well, that's your particular mindset. I mean, $80 million to the average salesman seems like a lot. Do you have anything on your site that gives sales tips?
Yeah, we've been revamping the site since December, revamping things, so we actually you can put in a contact us and we can send things. But yeah, we are doing
you can make
have
money
different
that
kits
way.
And workshops and teleseminars and things that we've been working on. Huh?
Oh, okay. You can make money that way.
Oh, you mean you're talking about sales tips for somebody learning how to sell?
Right.
Real estate agents, we don't really have sales tips for buyers and sellers other than teaching them how to sell their own property. We do that.
That's what Realty Universal is all about, is helping
you. Teleseminars and workshops and all that. Because if you want to email us, too, a lot of things are being updated. I just had my, tragic situation happen 3 months ago, so we put certain stuff on hold. But, yeah, if you want to. But you're in Montana. Why don't you invest in land?
Well, land's a good deal. I mean, there's nothing but land around here.
I know, but, I mean, there's some steals. There's steals in land around there. I mean, like unbelievable amounts of land.
In Montana. I'm glad nobody wants to come here.
I do.
Yeah.
Well, no, stay where you are. Montana's,
I want to see the Custer battlefield.
No, Montana's great. Fresh streams, beautiful skies, nice-looking mountains. Arizona mountains.
What's your winter like?
Winter's not bad. You think everybody would think that you're going to be snowed under as though you're in Alaska. It's not that bad.
Right. I would think that, but it's not, huh?
No.
Wow.
And the state is really well off, isn't it? The state is really financially well off.
It's better than most, but it has a nice, how can I best say this, independent type of bent. So that's nice. Because the government's interfering in everything. I mean, if you want to get on politics, let's go.
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
I know,
politics has got to be ruining you. You have to, Natalie, because trying to sell the houses and trying to deal with the regulations and trying to deal with all types of taxes and then this tax for that and that tax for this. but think about...
They National Association of Realtors has really good lobby. We all belong to, well, not all of us, and then you don't have to belong if you're a broker and agent, but we belong. And the government's been trying to put through rules where we would lose the tax write-offs, and that would be a nightmare if all of a sudden you couldn't write off owning your home.
Right.
So there's been the NAR has great lobbyists. They have, Chicago and D.C. and all over, and everybody's fighting it.
Yeah. The thing is, we shouldn't even have lobbyists.
I totally agree we shouldn't have it, but I'm just saying things that are coming up, they're really fighting really hard.
Yeah, they're necessary, but we don't. But we shouldn't have them. It's a necessary evil. So, again, don't get me started on politics because I'm a little bit jealous.
Oh, me either. Totally. I would like everybody to go home and then let's start over, and then I'd be happy because I'm tired of it, too. You know, everybody's pretty...
Then the Democrats and the Republicans, neither one of them know what they're really talking about, and then both of them have the same platforms and don't realize it, and then the conservatives say, well, we're really for having America become independent and, getting rid of certain types of taxes, and then as soon as they have control of the House and the Senate, as they did before the Democratic Revolution, the Pelosi Revolution, what do? They did the same crap the Democrats did. So I'm fed up with both parties. I wish we could start over. I wish we could just go home, start over, and just have everybody do what they wanted to do as long as they didn't encroach upon the rights of others,
Yeah, I know. It's a mess. I think if we could just get integrity back in the equation, because it's hard to be a politician. No, it's hard to be a politician. It's a really tough work. But I think if we can just get integrity back and people are doing it because it's the right thing to do and not because of where they're going to gain or because they owe people favors and yada, 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 I think it really needs to get back. It gets to that. And that's,
Well, you're right, but the thing is, if is the biggest word in the English language. I mean, it's like saying, if we went back to the original Constitution, putting an honest politician in the same sentence is the worst oxymoron in the world, because it's not going to happen.
But see, I believe that, we need to still vote, and we still need to think that it can happen, and we can start, like, even by a little bit. You know, I really do. I really have faith that we can, but we need to right now change some situations drastically, you know. And I don't know. It makes you want to move to another country sometimes, you know. It's really not always
fun. Well, you know what? As a result of the election in France, the rich people in France have all taken the same boat out. Almost.
Oh, Sarkozy, you know, Sarkozy. He just lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're going to turn socialist, and they're going to put a 75% real estate, not a real estate, but a tax on the rich. So they're going to leave, because why become rich if 75% of your assets and your income are going to go towards a government that, you know, so.
75%. Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
You had a 91% rate when Eisenhower was around, but you had to make $200,000 to get there. That was your
back
net.
Then.
Yeah, back in the 50s. But that was when you had over 200,000. Prior to 200,000, okay, you had a moderate tax rate. Over 200,000, 91%. But again, you still had your tax exemptions and tax credits. Over here in France,
wow.
I don't know what's really going to happen, but it's not going to be pretty.
Wow.
But again, you know, when you're in, you know, practically an independent contractor, like a real estate broker or a real estate listing, or trying to sell houses, you want the government out. Get away from me.
Yeah.
Stop. You know, you're not. It's not as though you're producing some sort of manufactured product with some sort of chemical drop off into the environment. You know, some chemical waste product. You're selling or buying houses. You know, you're flipping them if you want to, or advising people on what to do with their money. You don't need the government coming in and saying, "Well, we can do the job better than you can." Well, I've been like, for yourself, I haven't been in the real estate business, but you've been in the business.
You've been doing what?
For years. I haven't been in the real estate business. You have. So.
What business are you in? Or do you retire now, or are you kind of what?
Well, I was in sales.
Oh, that's great.
You know. And, you know, you just don't want the government in any type of business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was director of marketing for a couple of companies, but very, very small companies. So I have to say, you know, I was actually a titular head. I wasn't, you know, the worst people that you have to fight aren't your prospects. It's the people you work for.
Oh!
It is.
That's
they hire you specifically. How did my kind? They hire you for change, and then they don't want to change.
Yep. Oh,
right, that makes sense.
I have been there, my friend.
Have you? Have you been there? I mean, have you been a consultant? Have you actually been hired to specifically make two specific changes, reorganization, restructuring, and then when you do it, and then when you try to do it, we just don't do that here.
That's why a lot of companies bring in outsiders to do it, clean house, and then leave, you know, because it's hard to do it when you're hired for that purpose, and you're going to stay in. But it's not easy. I think, but it's just, I hope people do start standing on integrity and change, because a lot of the stuff that was promised when this current administration got in, they backed up, went back on everything the first year or two. So,
well,
tough.
Yeah, he's backtracking is a nice euphemism for him. He lied, and he started with the whole change. And tell me in history, okay, if not in American history, but in history around the world, wherever you have any type of semi-democratic type of republics, tell me where you'd have an election where the incumbent isn't saying, "Keep me, what I've been doing is fine," versus the challenger who says, "Change."
Mm.
Everybody's the same.
Yeah.
Oh, in France, he ran on change. The new one.
Well,
on
of course. Change. What else are they going to say?
I know.
Oh, they're going to say no.
Well,
let's run.
I run on integrity, and I'm not going to. Oh God, it's terrible. No, but
yeah,
I'm
but those people like
terrible.
Ron Paul that run on integrity, they're considered kooks.
Yeah. I know.
I love.
Well, it's hard to make. You can't make everybody happy. That's for sure. That's and there's so much going on these days.
That's why you have a republic. If you have a republic which has very, very few laws, okay, and a very small government, then you don't have to worry about trying to satisfy everybody. You worry about satisfying everybody when you have a socialist type of government where you're making campaign promises that you can't keep. And then everybody thinks that they're entitled of course they're entitled. I mean, you were promised by this putz over there that he's going to give you something. So, of course, you feel entitled to whatever they say they're going to give you. But
being in our industry, I've just noticed in our industry, seeing changes, it's strange to me how many government programs are still there right now that are putting in like the subsidized housing, but they're not going to bring money into the economy. You know, it'll make sense if they give you tax breaks and they bring money and put it into the economy, but they're not doing that. They're setting up situations where it's just going to take more money out of the economy. So there's a lot of things going on right now that are sad.
Loan modification programs, they don't work, and then the robo signing of fraudulent practices by Wall Street in collaboration with the mortgage brokers. So, yeah, and then the tax breaks are good, but even if they start up with the government programs, they still have to borrow money to fund those programs, which means people have to be taxed to fund those particular programs. And people don't really know about governmental economics, so everybody says, hey, cool, let's do it. But you can't do it. You know, the more money that's being funded into any program by the government means there's more money being taken out of the economy that people can spend.
Right, exactly, unless they're giving the big write-offs for, like, shopping centers. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to me that it's not all jiving. It's back in the day when you used to hear that, you know, the government spent $100,000 for this little piece of a screw that went into the, you know, into some fixture, and you're going, how did that happen? And so it's, you know, but I think if we all keep thinking you can't ever trust any politicians, I think we're just going to keep getting more of it. I really do. But hopefully this election, hopefully we make some major changes.
If they
vote in, it doesn't matter.
If they don't vote in Ron Paul, if they voted in Romney, if they voted in Gingrich, if he hadn't gotten off the track, Santorum, it wouldn't have mattered. Or even if they put in somebody else besides Obama, it doesn't matter. A Democrat is a Democrat, and a Republican is a Republican. All these two particular parties are portals for people to come into politics in order for them to remain as career politicians. Career politicians do not have integrity. They don't care about the people. They care about being reelected, and they care about making campaign promises they can't keep. They care about getting the either under the table money from the lobbyist, or, you know, getting the money across the table from the lobbyist. And then
I think we should quit. We should stop lobbying, and we should stop the pork bills and all these other things that come in. And there should be a lot of different ways to
and
do
it's
things.
Our
but
fault.
It's
our fault. It's us. We don't know better.
But I think if we can kind of shift change, and it's going to sound naive to say, hey, so they get in, and a great president comes in, and he really is going to care. He's going to be different, or she, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that we just go positive, but we say we want to hold you accountable. We want to see
we
these
can.
Promises.
That's
a
the
month,
whole thing.
2 months, 6 months. No, but we say we can't. But with all the social media, we can do a lot more now than we could have before. So I think if we just step it and we have groups and they start saying, let's hold them accountable, whoa, you know, and put out commercials and things saying, look, this one, like right away. I mean, it sounds naive, but I really believe we can push the issue more. And then I think people need to stop voting for people they have no clue about. But
that's
not going to stop. This is very far-fetched, but I would love for everybody to have to take a 2 or 3 hour course, just a small one, before they could vote. But that's not going to happen because they all want the vote. So if they can just grab people off the street that don't even know who's whatever, they're going to do it.
Yep.
So it's just, but I do have faith that we have to start believing in it to start getting it to, and then the accountability has to be there.
Okay, I agree with
you
on that. I think the direction, I disagree on the direction because a lot of people are waking up. I mean, social media, Facebook, MySpace, which are practically defunct, and then you get Twitter, and everybody is waking up. But the thing is, people who are waking up, they protest in the streets, or they may write emails.
Right.
It doesn't matter. We have to go where it really hurts them. My personal opinion, the FBI has to be involved in order to investigate these clowns. Because there have been so many actual convictions of congresspeople as being felons that if people actually knew about them, they might find a way
to... But they're allowed to get on if they were a felon?
No, I'm talking about people who were congressmen.
Once they're in, then they get in trouble.
Yeah, then they get in trouble. And so I believe in the cockroach theory. If you can convict one of these bastards, there's probably 10 more that should have been convicted.
Right.
Hey, we are out of time, my friend. Hey,
oh, gosh.
Joe.
Yeah, thank you. We're going to... Oh, Joe, it was nice talking with you.
Okay.
Yeah, if you want, it was great talking to you. If you want to email us or anything, we'd love to be in touch and see if, you know.
Well, think about also giving lessons on sales, too, because if that's something else that you know besides just the, you know, the selling of commercial real estate.
Sales for the sellers, you mean? Because sales
no,
for which
selling,
group
selling
of
in general. Say, I am Natalie Mullenix. Here's
that's
my
a good
bio.
Idea.
Here's my bio. You can write a book. I've sold $80 million worth a year in sales. And people might say, well, maybe that's a lot, maybe that's not. But you still had to struggle. You still have to contact You still have, you know, prospects that are qualified. You still have to convince them to, you know, use you to sell.
Well, you still have
them.
To learn how to sell. Right, exactly. No, I hear what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds good. So,
thanks, buddy.
Okay. So it was good talking to you guys, so I guess I'll...
Wonderful talking to you. Let's be in touch.
All right, take it easy.
Hey, buddy.
Well, I'm gonna start. Yeah, thanks. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So very cool. Joe, thanks from Montana checking in. And again, good to check on them. We have about 3 minutes left in the show. That flew by, and interesting conversation. We kind of went from real estate to politics, but it kind of all ties in a way, doesn't it, Natalie? I mean,
absolutely. It's real life. It's what we all have to deal with, right? And it's real life, and it does all tie in together. It affects everybody's pocketbook, their life, you know, their mission, what they're doing. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Well, Joe, thanks for checking in.
Thanks for your expertise, Joe. It was really nice to talk to you and valid, great advice.
Let's go do our show from Montana.
Yeah. That, I swear, I think there's some large parcels of land. I really love lots of land, but lots of land with trees, so you don't have to do a lot of work to maintain it.
Man.
But I think there's some really good deals out there, too.
Obviously, this second half of the program, really where we typically talk about kind of, more of self-help, God-help stuff, how to, you know, motivational type things. And, got a little bit of that from Joe, so that was cool. I just wanted to kind of 60 seconds, and then Natalie, I'll give you 60 seconds when we're about done. But I've been working really again on, and you and I talked about this. But spending intentional quality time meditating, and some people call them mantras or affirmations or, you know, just meditation. But, you know, training my mind to focus on the things that are positive, focus on the things that, and expect good things to happen. All of that stuff that we typically get all fired up about maybe in a, you know, motivational speaker rally or a church or whatever. But I'll tell you, when you really choose to intentionally do that, you know, Wayne Dyer talks about when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change, that really does happen, doesn't it?
No, absolutely. 100% it does. And the world's changing so fast and so quickly. And I think our intentions really do make a difference. It's difficult because you see so much negativity, you get negativity, et cetera, but it really does make a change. And I love the mantras. We'll have to do that on one of our other shows. And get into some of those meditating, the thought processes, getting our mind balanced into a certain thing. Because right now, especially with social media and all the news and everything else, we're bombarded constantly with a lot of negative messages. And it really bugs me. Well, I don't care what, like I look at the CNN news or Fox News when I go on the internet and I go down the headlines and it's like 85% is negative. And 15 is maybe positive. Sometimes it's only 5% is positive. That shouldn't be that way. I think it really, because there's a lot of good news out there, but I think it should be at least 50-50. I'd much rather see 80 positive and 20 negative, but that isn't going to happen. And it really is. It's how we look at it. And they talk about it when we start making those changes, and we're not going to put up with it. We're not going to put up with it. We need to hold people accountable. It's becoming the type of world where people go, of course they all lie. They all lie. They all do this. And this one does in every industry, in any kind of thing. And I go, no, I don't care. It's not acceptable to me. But I love to hear that. We'll do that on another show because there's some neat on the self-help side that we do on the second half that there's some neat mantras and that you were suggesting and different programs that we can recommend and different things that really start. It's really good to meditate at least a half an hour a day. And that's just listening to music and tapes in certain ways. It just really relaxes. There's a lot of things that go on in our brain, neurology, I'm not saying it right now, Randy, it's a Russian, but that actually really make a difference in how we're programming things and how we relax. You know, I've been doing a lot of it with my brother, Liz, and my brother. You know, I've been trying to get myself to find some peace again, you know. So, well, we are just about finished. Hey, thank you, Joe, and thank you, Randy. And I guess I'll talk to you next week, and I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.